We've been discussing the subject of directing the deacons. In our first segment, we looked at deacons in all of the New Testament combined. And what we discovered is the word deacons appears only 5 times and in only 2 texts of the scriptures. And that in those texts, there's no real job description of what a deacon ought to do. There are the qualifications for deacons set down by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We noted that deacons were not appointed at the same time that elders were appointed. They were apparently appointed later in the churches that Paul visited on the first missionary journey. And we also noticed that in Titus, while these are new churches and elders are to be appointed, deacons are not mentioned. So that suggests something to us that I think is noteworthy that we can consider as we proceed in our lesson today. We looked then at Acts chapter 6, and we discovered the problem of the care of widows and the apostles acknowledging that they were responsible overall for their care, but they also understood their priorities were prayer and the ministry of the word. And so they chose to delegate a responsibility to those men, those 7 men who were highly qualified men, and they were to oversee the care and the feeding of the widows. But we also noticed that the word deacon is not present in that text, and neither is the word elder. It does not appear until Acts chapter 11 and verse 30. Deacon never appears in the book of Acts. And so we have to ask ourselves, how does this text apply to the relationship between elders and deacons as we see them in the church today? I'd like to suggest this to you. When you can't apply something in particular, you may be able to apply it in principle. Let me give you some examples from the Bible. The Bible says, don't muzzle the ox while it treads the grain. And you know from that text and what our Lord Jesus says, that God doesn't just care about oxen, he cares about the worker. And so the principle is the worker should be cared for as he carries on his labor. And then you see the principle that's the particular that's set down that says, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. I have a rather interesting application of that, but there too, we don't have kids and mother goats and milk. So we have to ask ourselves, is there an application in principle that is not there in particular? I'll tell you one that applies to our church. We have a church with a balcony, and strangely, the barrier from the balcony, the front row in the balcony, to the lower level is very low. And we feared that someone might fall over that. Even though it was legal, it didn't seem safe. And so we looked at that Old Testament text that says that when you have a roof, you should have a parapet. That's like a guardrail, some kind of safety device, so that people don't get hurt. You apply the principle, even though the particular may not necessarily be relevant to us. So when we look at these men, these 7 men, we know they're not called deacons. And I don't believe that technically they were. But we can apply the things that we learn from this text to our situation with elders and deacons, and I think that is important for us to do. Remember that the apostles recognized the magnitude of the problem. They saw the seriousness. The unity of the church was at issue, and they did not want to let that fester and become a more pronounced issue. They recognized that it was generally their area of responsibility. But here's the thing that they came to. You don't have to do everything that you're responsible for. You can delegate some of the things for which you are responsible so that others do it. The things that we are to do are those things that are our priorities. And the apostles recognized their priority was the preaching of the gospel. Their priority was prayer and the proclamation of the word. And so they delegated the responsibility of the care of widows to 7 highly qualified men. And those men oversaw that ministry in a way that relieved the apostles of that burden so that they could do their job better. So let's look at this whole matter of delegation, because I think that's really critical to the relationship between elders and deacons. The first thing is this. Before we can delegate, we have to know what our priorities are. We have to understand what our main mission is. And I would say to elders, myself and my fellow elders, I would say to elders, we need to review time again, over and over, what is it that God has called us to do primarily? And those are the things that we ought to put at the top of our list. And other things that get in the way, I think, and cause us to neglect our primary duty are those things that we ought to consider delegating to others who are highly qualified in that. So elders need to delegate areas of responsibility that will cause them to neglect their primary responsibilities. And one of the things that I've thought about in this text that I think is really important is the difference between those things which are critical and involving the gospel on the one hand, and those things which are important that follow the gospel and even buttress the gospel but aren't the gospel themselves. I would say social actions, meeting the needs of the poor, feeding the hungry. Those are vitally important things. They were important to the apostles. In Galatians chapter 2, when Paul went to see the leaders in the church, they said, "We expect you to care for the poor." And Paul says, "It was a thing I was glad to do." James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "The care of orphans and widows is a priority." Those things are important. But what I've seen happen, not only in churches, but in institutions, is when you begin to let those physical needs and the meeting of them override the gospel itself, then you're headed for trouble. The apostles set the example. They knew that ministering in that way was their priority. I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And in the morning, there were hordes of people there to be healed. And the Lord Jesus said, "We have to move on. My primary task is the proclamation of the gospel." Here are a few other words about delegation that I say somewhat from my experience as well as from Scripture. We ought to delegate on the basis of priority, not on the basis of preference. It's very easy to delegate to others what I don't want to do, but that may not be consistent with the priorities that the Scripture sets down for me. When I've talked to men who are subordinates, one of their major complaints is that their boss hands them the pencil sharpening things to do, and they maintain the things that they really like to do for themselves, and that frustrates those to whom we delegate responsibility. When you delegate, clearly define the task, as the apostles did. Set forth the requirements for leadership in a clear way, and then delegate the authority. And you notice that's what the apostles did. They did all of those things. They publicly laid their hands on these men, commissioning them, giving them the authority. And then I would say, to add on to that, then leave it alone. Don't micromanage. One of the things that I've observed in my experience for years in the church is that one of the most frustrating events for deacons is to have a task delegated to them by the elders and then have the elders consistently and continually intervening, questioning, revising, and whatever, to where they really believe it's not they who are in charge, it's still the elders who are there and they are micromanaging. And when we do that as elders, the reality is we are deaconing rather than eldering. And I fear that many elders are actually doing more deacon work than they are elder work, and that I think is a significant problem. I would say this too. The opposite of delegation is guarding your own turf. Delegation is, in a sense, relinquishing control, not responsibility, but relinquishing control, and many people don't like to let other people gain control over what they see as their turf. Delegation is saying, "I'm going to hand this off, I'm going to put it in the control of others," and I think that is a very, very important thing. I also would say this, delegation is the first step of what I would call passing the torch. I think one of the great problems in the church today is the problem of elders passing the torch of leadership to younger, qualified men who are growing up and maturing. And many of us feel like the position of elder is ours until we are in the grave. But the reality is delegation is saying, I'm going to pass, in a sense, a portion of the torch off to other people. And I believe that when we do that, we do it well and we do it consistently, that it's also easier for us to pass the torch of eldership on to other people. And I think that's desperately needed in the church today. So if you don't trust somebody to take a small portion of what is your responsibility and handle it well, how will you ever trust them to do it all? So I believe that as we look at Acts chapter 6 and we look at the principles, that we see that while it doesn't speak about elders and deacons in particular, it does speak about leadership in general and in principle. And I believe the principle of passing the torch, of delegating responsibility and authority, is critical to the ongoing success and vitality of the church today.